Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, reading from verse 1 through to verse 20. Luke, chapter 2, and the first 20 verses. Luke has recorded the history of the birth of John the Baptist, as well as the announcement to Mary that she is to be the mother of the Messiah. And now, Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, for the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem, and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marvel at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. May God bless the reading of his most holy and precious word. Our text on this Christmas morning is found in the chapter from which we read, Luke chapter 2, and verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Here we are on Christmas morning in the Lord's house on the Lord's day to worship, to celebrate that Christ has come to us, that he has given himself for us, that God indeed is manifest below as we have sung. And here, on this day, in this place, we rejoice. Not simply because we're told this is the season to be joyful, but because God sent his Son for us and our salvation. And even as the shepherds said on that first Christmas morning, "Let us go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass," so too, "Let us go unto Bethlehem." We see here, first of all, the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see, secondly, the announcement of the Lord. And thirdly, we see the adoration of the shepherds and of Mary. Arrival, announcement, and adoration. First, we see the arrival. Christ has come. Let earth adore him. I find it very interesting that two people who, as far as the world was concerned, were the most important people are really just incidentally mentioned here in Luke chapter 2, and they are Caesar Augustus and Quirinius, the governor of Syria. Everybody knew who they were. Caesar Augustus, of course, had his face stamped on the coinage. Quirinius was a senior Roman civil servant. And yet, as far as God is concerned, they are secondary. They are the unimportant people. They're just there so that we know what the date was, so we know where Christ came in history. But we do see that Christ comes into history. Christianity is rooted and grounded in history, in things that happened in the world in which we live. It's not just a matter of high ideals and ideas. It is a matter of our God is manifest below. That Christ has come into our world, into our history. And therefore, coming into our history, he tells us that our history matters. God, who made the world, doesn't just abandon the world, but he comes into the world, and God sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. It's also notable here that here's Caesar Augustus, and Augustus says, I need to know what the population of my empire is. And so he sends out a decree to the various provinces and says, you need to tell me what your population is. Caesar Augustus simply wants to know how many people he has so he can tax them. Quirinius sends out the decree, and because of the way the Jews did things, he says this means that Jewish men have to go to their family home. He's only thinking about taxes, only thinking about policy, only thinking at this point about keeping the Jews happy. And yet, it's through him that Christ is born in Bethlehem. Here are the great ones of the world, and they exist simply to do that which God would have them do, to work out God's plan, God's purposes, God's providence. And very often they do so, like Quirinius, like Caesar Augustus, completely oblivious. They have their own selfish motives, their own selfish purposes. And yet God is at work through them. And they are doing his work, however much they really don't want to be doing his work. And so it is that because of these men, Jesus is born exactly where God said he'd be born through the prophet Micah. He's born in Bethlehem of Judea. He is born as the son of David, great David's greater son, as James Montgomery puts it in his hymn. He is born to be king, born king of the Jews. But we see that although he's born king, he is born in a very humble condition. First of all, he's born not in the family home, but he's born somewhere else. Joseph has his own home there in Nazareth, but he has to go to Bethlehem. He has to rely upon relatives. He has to rely on being able to get what accommodation he can. And it turns out that the accommodation isn't really suitable. Now, we don't know how long it was between Joseph and Mary's arrival and the birth of the Lord Jesus. Our retellings of the Christmas story, we tend to have them arriving just before Mary gives birth. I suspect it was a little earlier than that. I suspect it wasn't quite so late. But nevertheless, it's a borrowed place, and there's no spare cradle. There's none of the things that you need for a new baby. All those things are back in Nazareth. And so they have to borrow what can be borrowed. And Bethlehem's not very big. They go around and all they can find is a manger, a feeding tray, a feeding trough for cattle.
It's all they can find to lay the child in. He comes not into a palace, not into the ranks of the privileged, but he comes into the ranks of the poor and meek and lowly. He comes into the ranks of ordinary people, and he lives among ordinary people. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a storm. As the hymn writer puts it, how marvellous it is that he who was rich beyond all splendour, all for love's sake became as poor. That he came and he shares our situation, he shares our life. He was indeed a little child. Hark indeed, as the hymn writer says, the great eternal word, like a weak infant cries. There he is, in flesh. He deigns in flesh to appear in our weakness for us and for our salvation. He comes into this world. He arrives, and he does so to save us. He does so as a saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And so we come, secondly, to the great announcement. The great announcement. There were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. We're not entirely sure what time of year it was. It may well have been this time of year, if you were to go on the internet and plug in Bethlehem, Israel, and look at the weather, you'd find it's not too bad. It's warm enough to be out there watching your flocks by night. But there they were, watching, hoping that there wouldn't be a wolf or some other wild beast turn up to try to prey on the flocks. Sitting round a little campfire, perhaps, sharing their stories, chatting away. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And of course, their reaction was what your reaction, my reaction would be. They were terrified. What's going on? And here comes one, a holy one from heaven, with all the holiness of heaven shining around him. And they feel their own unworthiness. We are guilty sinners here on earth below. We are not worthy to approach God. And if God has sent an angel, has he sent the angel for condemnation? And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Do not be afraid, the angel says. Do not be afraid. The Lord Jesus Christ has not come with words of condemnation. He doesn't come to condemn the world. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He comes, he says, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Good old Martin Luther has a saying on this subject. He says, "When the devil tells me I'm a sinner, I say thank you very much, because Christ came into the world to save sinners." When the devil tells me I'm a sinner, he says, I remember that Christ came for sinners. When I think of my unworthiness, I remember that Christ came for the unworthy. That he came not for those who saw themselves as worthy to come to God, not for people like the Pharisees, who had no idea in their own heart. They didn't think, oh, am I worthy? The Pharisees said, of course I'm worthy. But Jesus says, no, unless you become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Little child in that culture was the least. Little child was not the one who got the first portion when dishing up. They were the one at the bottom who got the last out of the pot. And yet Christ Jesus comes to the unworthy. And he comes a saviour who is Christ the Lord. Do not be afraid of the angel. Do not be afraid of this good news. Do not be afraid, because God sent his Son into the world to save sinners. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a saviour who is Christ the Lord. The angel brings glad tidings. The angel brings the gospel, good news. Good news that God's love is towards weak, sinful people. That God isn't interested in sending someone to tell the Pharisees how good they are, how well they're doing. But God is interested in sending his Son for sinners. This man, they said, when he was grown, they said, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And he does. And he does. Even today, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, says, welcome. And his angel here, his messenger, says, there is born to you a saviour who is Christ the Lord. A rescuer, a deliverer. One who can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. More, one who will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. A saviour born in love supreme. How marvellous, a saviour. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. He will deliver them from the power of sin. He will deliver them from the penalty of sin, and he will eventually, at last, deliver us from the very presence of sin. And we shall be in his sight, pure and holy, a saviour who is Christ the Lord. Christmas is about the gospel. Christmas is about the good news, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We've seen at this Christmas time, because I think last Christmas we had all the concern about the rising COVID cases. The Christmas before, we knew that Boxing Day would be straight into lockdown. And this Christmas, there are concerns about cost of living, food prices, etc. This Christmas, however, once again, there's the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Whoever you are, whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation, whatever things have happened in the past year or you're expecting or fearing in the year to come. The good news is that Christ Jesus is God with us, God for us. God in his love, his mercy and his grace. Christ Jesus, a saviour who is Christ the Lord. A deliverer. The one who came to save us from our sins. The one who indeed invites his people, come unto me, he says, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A saviour who is Christ the Lord. Fear not, fear not. The announcement, God's love, God's mercy and God's grace. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Or not peace necessarily among human beings, but peace with God. Peace with God and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, God's peace. The angel announces that the Lord Jesus Christ comes that we may have peace with God, that we may know, we may look and say, my God is reconciled, his pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child, I need no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh, and Father, Abba, Father cry. Christ is born, a human being, that we might be made children of God through him. The announcement, Christ has come, peace on earth, peace with God, reconciliation. And then we see, thirdly, the adoration, the worship. First of all, the shepherds, once the angels had gone away. And you could picture the sky ablaze with these angelic spirits, and then suddenly they're gone. And again, it is a clear, bright eastern night. The stars alone twinkling in the sky above. And the angel and the shepherds look to one another and, what shall we do? And one says, well, what do you think we'll do? Let us go. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. God's word is spoken that we may respond to it. The call is given. There is born to you in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. Well, that means we've got to go and see. And the language that we have here, they came with haste and found. And the word found here suggests they found after a good search. Because unlike the wise men, they didn't have a star to guide them. So they would have been hurrying round Bethlehem, looking for likely places. Now they were locals, they know the town, but they hurried around looking for places where a child might have been born. Anyone they met on the streets, do you know about a new child who's been born today? And many of the people wouldn't know, but they say to the shepherds, no, we don't. Why are you looking at this child? Well, this child is the Messiah. This is a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. This is the one God promised us. And you can picture that there might have been quite a crowd by the time they finally found where the Lord Jesus Christ was. All these people, some of them would have been saying, we know these shepherds, these aren't men who are likely to just make things up like this. For others who would be saying, we've got no idea what these people are about, but let's just follow them and see what happens. And so the group come looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they hear, yes. Yes, says the Bethlehem midwife. Yes, there was a baby born last night. And it was a peculiar thing. They're just visitors. They didn't have a cradle, so we had to dig up a manger and stuff it with nice clean straw. And the shepherds, ah, that's it. And so they came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph. Joseph being a good man, a godly man, he was there. He was there for his wife. He was there for the child. He was there supporting, there running to get whatever it was needed. And they, at the centre of it all, was a child lying in a manger. And there they came to the door, and Joseph would have opened the door. What's going on? We've been told by angels. Oh yes, says Joseph. He was told himself by an angel, after all, that this was the Messiah. Oh yes, come in. Be careful. Be quiet. The baby's sleeping. And Mary's sleeping as well. And they kneel down. And there they look, and just a baby. little child, so small, so tiny, there in the manger. And they bow their heads and they worship. And they praise God. God has sent the Saviour. God has sent his Son. Oh, there were indeed those who were looking for a king who would drive out the Romans. What does God do? He sends a babe, a little child. But the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, they all know better. This is the Messiah. This is the Saviour. This is the one. And the shepherds worshipped. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marvelled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Can this be? This is amazing. They marvelled. How long did they hold on to those thoughts? I suspect long enough, or maybe 6 months, a year later, to see a group of men in strange outfits from a foreign land arrive with gifts. Did they hold on to those thoughts much longer after Mary and Joseph and Jesus were gone? We don't know. But we know this, that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary let these things become a part of her. She pondered them not only there in Bethlehem, not only when they were off there in Egypt in exile because Herod wanted to kill the young child, but she pondered them when they came back and lived in Nazareth, and when he grew up to the point where he could go out to school, and when he came back from school to tell her all the things that he had learned that day at school, because yes, he did learn, because yes, he was an ordinary child. He is fully man as well as fully God. And she pondered these things and wondered. And when Joseph died, she still pondered until she came at last to that point where she stood by a cross on a hill outside Jerusalem. And there on the cross was the Lord Jesus Christ, now a man in his 30s. And there he was dying, crucified. And he looked to her, and there with her was his closest friend, a man called John. And he said, "Woman, behold your son." And to John, "Behold your mother." And he died there upon the cross. And she wept. And 3 days later, the tomb was empty. 3 days later, she would have been there in the upper room, there with John and Peter and James and the others. And there he came and said, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you," he said. And she remembered the peace of that first Christmas morning. And she heard then the peace of that great first Lord's Day. "Peace be with you." And she worshipped even the one who was her son. And she remembered what she had said long before when she had visited her cousin Elizabeth. "My soul rejoices in God my Saviour." And she shared with Thomas, the disciple, a week later when he fell down before the risen Lord and said, "My Lord and my God." And she too confessed, "My Lord and my God," that her son also was her God. That she was in that mysterious way the mother of not just Messiah, but she had given birth to him who is true almighty God, who is eternal God, our God contracted to a span incomprehensibly made man. She kept and pondered these things. And we too keep and ponder these things. There are some who on Christmas Day, they hear these things and they wander off. But we keep and ponder these things in our hearts. And indeed we trace his course from that rough manger to that rugged cross. And we see the Saviour who is Christ the Lord. How marvellous it is to keep and ponder these things in our minds at this Christmas time. To remember that we are celebrating the birth of the man who died for us. Greater love has no man than this, he says, to lay down his life for his friends. And he has laid down his life for you and for me. And here this morning we remember that. He has his own meal for us, which he has spread. And he says to his people, come and eat with me on this Christmas morning. Let us keep and ponder these things in our hearts and rejoice that there is indeed born for us this day a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Amen.